Michael Brett, Fatima Washington, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Now, you are kicking off that awesome re-entry into live concert adventure with Down the Line 15. Congratulations, and Mike, it's Soul Legends you're serving up this year. A great call. What was your inspiration?
It was a conversation that I had with some musicians during summer nights, and coming out of it, it sort of clicked together, and here we are.
It's certainly a timely, wonderful musical expression to share with the community. And as a matter of fact, you had a hard act to follow after last year, also your idea to do all front women. And so this is bringing the soul that's besides classic. It's relevant.
Absolutely. And I think it's important more now than ever to implicitly put yourself out there and reach out to the community with everything that's going on, that this is a great merger of just wonderful musicians and music. But, you know, we are making a statement. Black lives matter. The culture matters. The music, the history. And to have all these wonderful people just right there to have it come together, it didn't take long to put this together. And we are excited.
So, Fatima, this is certainly in your wheelhouse, and I'll expect you're going to knock the Supremes out of the ballpark. Thank you for taking on that role. How does it feel to have that opportunity to cover the Supremes?
You know, I've had a really great run with Down the Line. This will be my third time, and, you know, you start with Aretha Franklin, and then I did Whitney Houston. You know, you kind of, where else can you go? You got Diana Ross and the Supremes, and if I ever do it again, I would do Patti LaBelle. So, like, these are the women that I listened to, that my mother listened to, that empowered me in our house.
That's fantastic. I do need to ask, when did you first dream of channeling Diana?
You know, such a good question. Diana Ross and the Supremes meant a lot. I grew up in the time of Diana, and then my mother had to explain to me Diana Ross and the Supremes and how all of that kind of came about. So I remember as a young child, you know, you use the towel as your long flowy hair and the hairbrush and doing all of the things, and don't let me get an outfit that had a speck of a sequin on it. I was going to be all of the Supremes, all of the everythings at one time.
So you got your chance.
Right, exactly. That's now I can wear the sequins and not have somebody look at me crazy.
And you've got something probably better than that towel.
A few more fancier wigs now that I'm, you know, doing the thing.
Good for you. And in this, you are surrounded by legendary locals.
Yes.
Like yourself. What makes the genre special to you? Experiencing all of it. How does that power lineup feel? How does that energize you all by itself?
I am honored and amazed to be on the same bill with these people. Like, Ty Causey gave me my start. Like, he let me, you know, kind of tailgate him in the Blue Tomato, and it kind of pushed me out into the forefront. And then Todd Harold and the fellas who are in the other group, I've always watched them. And it's weird to be in a place where I learned so much from them, where it's like the pupil is now getting to work with the teacher. And it's just kind of amazing.
Is it ever overwhelming?
Yeah. Like I said, these are people that I have watched and tried to low-key stalk at their shows and see what they do and see how they do what they do and the energy that they create and how they reach people with what they do and go home and emulate and transform these things and figure out how to make that Fatima. So to be on the same stage with them and to be ending the show with them is kind of, wait, I'm doing what now? So it's exciting, and I lose words when I think about how excited I am for this show. And just to be able to sit and watch them again and then go up there and be like, all right, let me show you guys what I learned.
That's fantastic. And we know the crowd is absolutely going to love it. And you've got Ty Causey doing Stevie Wonder, Mike, and Isaac Hayes by the Institute for the Musically Insane. WBOI's own Todd Harold is Bill Withers. Now, collectively, it is your program. What's the wow factor in this?
Sure, that's a tricky question. I think it might have to be Shaft strutting across the stage.
We'll take that.
And the Supremes. This is a great way to end a night.
And so it's a whole parade of amazing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still getting goosebumps when you're hearing the practicing and the technical stuff all going on?
I get goosebumps every time I talk to anybody that's involved in this. And working with this and the enthusiasm, and I get to see the set list and I get to see the band lineups, and I'm just very lucky to be a part of this community and this operation.
And the community is very lucky to have you in this position. So really,
yes,
thank you for that, Mike. Now, next point of order You are keeping it soul and you are keeping it safe. What does the safety entail?
So we've been working on this process and our protocols since June, which is when we came out of lockdown. We started with summer nights and we've been developing it, you know, one show at a time as we've gone working with the Board of Health. So we really obviously are focused on social distancing, everybody be wearing masks, and it's all about entry and exit. So timed entry, staggered exits, and a flow that hopefully we just don't have people running into each other.
And assigned seating rather than general seating?
Exactly right. Thank you for bringing that up. That's the big difference. There's no general admission. There's no dance floor.
A small price to pay for Correct. Such a show being able mm-hmm. to be performed. And is it feeling right to you two? This is going to happen. Is it going to be glorious?
It will be. It'll just be the new glorious. You know, everything is kind of the new normal now. And will some of those things be missed? Sure. But we'll create new things that will make it exciting. There's a lot of chair dancing that you can do to make up for not having a dance floor. And you know, when you go with your set of people, there's a way that music still makes you relate. Music still unites. Music still makes you feel good. And that, COVID can't take that away.
Amen. And speaking of COVID, last year's Down the Line came off almost on the eve of the whole pandemic. What has this year taught you about how and why you do the job you do, Mike?
It's community. And I think that's become clear every step of the way since then. How do we work together? And there's so many aspects and so many things to speak on in that. But it really is about community and offering people a place, you know, to not only have a good time, but to express themselves and really delve into the art that happens on stage.
You always have to consider the crowd factor and the safety that goes along with that. But putting the whole upside down nature of this year there, do you feel confident in how you've learned to carry on?
Every step of the way, I've been comfortable. I'm really proud of the staff at the embassy. You know, we've all taken it very seriously. And we also take our mission very seriously. So yes, I think this is going to be a spectacular show. And once you get past the tedium of figuring out how to accomplish it, then you start looking at it as more of, this is going to be an exclusive sort of opportunity because of our low capacity, and the people who are there will be so lucky to see this show. What we have on stage, you know, the capacity that we have, it doesn't match. So I just look at it as a very, you know, personal exclusive opportunity for people to come and see just an incredible show. So you just begin to start looking at it that way once you get past the difficult parts of the protocol.
It's a wonderful way to be able to think about it. And honestly, if you all are doing your job, and obviously you are, your crowd's not going to even notice because they can have that good time that
that's
you
the goal.
Hope they do.
That's the goal.
Great. And from a musician's standpoint, Fatima, this has been a mighty tough year. What has it taught you, and how have you been able to make making music work for you?
So 2020 was exceptionally weird. And on top of that, I actually had 3 separate surgeries in 2020. So there was not a lot that I could do musically because of my health. But what I can tell you is that as a musician, it made me very proud to see other musicians still doing things. And as a performing musician, you spend so much time preparing for a gig and doing a gig that you very rarely get the opportunity to enjoy a gig. Because even when you go out to a gig, people are like, oh, so-and-so's in the building, bring them up on the stage. There was none of that. And I was able to just enjoy music. It wasn't work. I wasn't analyzing. I was just vegging out on the music and allowing it to do what music does. Back to that, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel a part of something. It unites. It is a language that transcends all of the things that happened in 2020. And I was there for all of it. I was on everybody's live, everything. If it was on there and I could plug it up to my TV, me and my baby were there dancing and me taking breaks because I said it was health concerns, but her having a jolly good time. And that is how we spent some of our nights. That is how we partied. That was how we got out of the house, by being in the house and getting into something else.
It's so beautiful to hear you express that, Fatima. Can you say, as you now you're certainly into the thick of making music, did it make your music better?
I think that it changed me in a way that will allow me to do music differently. I believe that that's going to be better. You know, everybody laughs at Madonna because they say every album she reinvents herself. This was kind of my time to be reinvented between life happening and then sitting down and watching music and just allowing it to envelop me again. I am different as a person. I am different as a musician. And I can't wait to really get in a place this year where I can just go record something for the fun of it and figure out by the end of it, should we release it or no? As confining as COVID is, that is the freedom you have now, because people want music and they want it now and they want a song. They don't care about a project or an album. They want you. They want you with them. And the fact that I can go into the studio and be me, this version of me, and just give them that, that's freedom.
Fantastic. Now, what adaptations and reinventions and other creative methods has the Embassy developed beyond survival as a platform this year, Mike, to strengthen its core foundation?
Well, you know, everybody's working on virtual streaming and virtual packages. We're really focused on our educational component at the theater. We're putting together things that we can get in videos and courses that we can get into classrooms that otherwise can't do field trips, for instance. That's been one of our main goals. And working on virtual streaming for the now, but also building it in for the future when everybody comes back, this isn't something that's going to go away. And how can we make that kind of a nice sort of side contributing factor to getting a word out and having people be here when they can't be here?
Powerful tools then that you have developed, and you are going forward with them.
Yes, we started right away a year ago.
That's wonderful. Now, well, I know you've got a lot of work to do as you get ready for this wonderful spectacle, this spectacular event, as you call it, Mike. So my last question to both of you, as you look at where we've been this last year and where we're headed, what have you learned about the community's resilience and its love for the amazing arts and culture that you bring it?
It's become clear that I'm not just working at a theater that puts on shows. It's integral to our community and to the people. And, you know, if that was taken for granted, it isn't now.
Fatima?
I see that music was this place where everyone felt very, very happy. And when those things were kind of stripped, we still found ways to inject happiness into each other so that when these live streams and live shows come back, it's that much more communal. And, you know, from doing summer nights and seeing how communal that environment can be, I can only imagine once things open up how unified we'll be and how wonderful it will be to look at the people dancing and see so many different groups of people dancing together and not caring.
Yeah. You know, Ty Kazi was one of the first summer nights we did last year, and we did that to nobody. We just streamed it. That was difficult for him. He feeds off of his audience. And to watch him just get it together and do it, that really speaks to the resilience of the industry.
Michael Brett is Embassy Theater's program manager, and Fatima Washington, an outstanding Fort Wayne musician performing in Down the Line 15. Michael, Fatima, thank you so much for bringing the story of this amazing adventure to life for us right here. Thank you for everything you do in the community. Do carry it on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.